today's Thursday, which means we're bringing you Girls at Startup, a weekly series where we spill the tea on how to create a seven-figure side hustle because no one saves their way to wealth. You're joined today by Sim, a seven-figure business owner, and with me is Maya, a solopreneur. Kia ora, Maya.
Kia ora, Sim. Love you, kia ora.
Thank you. You're rubbing off on me.
Perfect.
Good.
More.
I love your like deep voice that you do because it catches me so off guard because you've got such a sweet, like softly spoken voice.
Oh, that's nice. I can do a little accent as well if you like.
Can you do an accent?
I go in and out. I can do Jamaican. I can do Irish. I can do British. They're all just like half cooked though. They go in and out.
Are you going to go to Ireland on your honeymoon?
I'm not, but there is somewhere we want to go. Honestly, I'm happy to see the world anywhere. Also, in either Ireland or Scotland is where some of Harry Potter was filmed. So I'd love to see that.
Did you see that video of that lady who was in Harry Potter? I think she was like one of the professors that had the like pulled out the plant things. And she was like, adults that watch Harry Potter need to grow the hell up.
Yeah, because it's literally a show for kids. Like, it's a children's movie. They're children's books. Like, you need to grow up. I saw that. I felt so attacked.
Right? You're like, why would my mother talk to me like this?
What do you mean it's not for me? Because I turned 30 next year. And for probably the past 5 years, I've consistently said, all of my family know this, my friends know this, I want to go to Harry Potter World for my 30th. I want to have a butterbeer. I want to be walking down Diagon Alley. I want to get a wand from Ollivander's. Like, that's my 30th trip. It was first going to be a Harry Potter themed party. And then I was like, no, screw that. Let me go to Harry Potter World.
Can I come?
Of course you can. End of next year.
I haven't gotten an invitation. And I feel like you should give invites for these as soon as, like, earlier the better.
Should I mail it to you?
Just a Google Cal, just nothing too crazy.
Google Cal, when we confirm our dates, I'm sending it to everyone. Everyone, please come to Harry Potter World for my 30th.
I just feel like that's bad business for her to say that because who else is going to fuel this? Like, if you get rid of the millennials that watch Harry Potter, you think Gen Z cares about like Harry Potter? You think Gen Z are like Quidditch is my favorite sport? No, they don't care.
They really don't.
It's the millennials that haven't moved on that are fueling the merchandise sales and like streaming services of Harry Potter. Like, just watch it, you know.
She should be happy we're paying for her royalties. I watch it at least 2 or 3 times a year.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you. That's the same literally. But anyway, Maya, this week we have a really exciting episode. We are talking about how to balance your life admin and your responsibilities with having a side hustle. Because look, we live in a very, very different time to the businesses of the past. We have everything at our fingertips. We cannot catch a break. Cost of living is high. Expenses are high. Starting a business is high. There is so much content on starting a business that it's almost so overwhelming. You don't even know where to start. Taking a break feels like you're going backwards or slowing down because Alex Hormozi is yelling down your throat saying that if you're not up at 5 a.m., like you're just meant to fail and you're like crying. It's not easy. So I'm really excited for this episode.
Yes. Sim, please walk us through your journey with work-life balance with GTI specifically, Girls That Invest. I want to hear the beginning, the middle, and now.
I don't know if I am the poster child for work-life balance, but I think I am the poster child for someone that wants to have work-life balance and has had a constant active journey to get there slowly.
I think that's really important to highlight because honestly, I think that is the reality for 90% of people. Like the idea of balance is so well sought for, but in reality, life happens, things happen, and I like to view things more as seasons. So, you know, there are seasons with growth and then you're working a lot more on one thing instead of the other thing. Can you walk us through your journey of work-life balance?
Absolutely. Starting off at the beginning of Girls That Invest, I believed hard work and results were a linear relationship. If I want results, I work hard. If I want more results, I work harder. If I want better results, keep pushing, girl. Like, hard work equals result. And I didn't see it as this like graph that eventually curves downwards if you keep working hard, because your results actually start decreasing and getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
So the first season, I was like, work hard, results. And that worked for a while. You know, I was like, hey, make more content, grow more followers, hustle, do more interviews. Fantastic. Like, reply to emails so quickly. If someone was like, hey, Simran, like, this has come up, can you jump on the morning show tomorrow and talk about it? I'd reply in 2 minutes so that they'd always want me to turn up, know that I was available, and I was just like the go-to person for like money media commentary, and that really helped grow the brand. So I'm glad I did it, because I don't think I would have grown as quickly without my problematic mentality. I would have got there eventually, maybe over 5 years, maybe 10 years, but not in like 24 months.
Yeah, because Girls That Invest grew so, so quickly and still is growing and expanding amazingly now.
Yeah, we had 50,000 new Instagram followers last month.
Wow, that's insane.
Incredible. 1 month. Our goal was to reach 400,000 followers at the end of this year. We're at 350 right now, and it's April at the time of recording.
You have to share your secrets on another episode.
That's a good idea. Maybe we could start a podcast called Girls at Startup. Where
I think so. That might be helpful for people. I don't know.
But, you know, this growth has now happened without having that hustle mentality. So I'm really excited to share how that's changed. And then in the middle, I kept going until I couldn't. So eventually I developed IBS. I started having like stomach problems. I gained a lot of weight. Not that it's like an issue. And I didn't even realize it until I like lost weight. And I was like, wait, I was kind of like a bit cute and chubbier, like when I look at these photos. Who would have thought? Like, it was kind of sweet. It was endearing. So like my weight gained, my steps were like 1,000 steps a day. Like, I just wasn't healthy. I was going to the doctor a lot more. I was like losing hair.
How was it impacting your mental health?
I didn't even realize it was impacting my mental health. But what I realized and what like stopped me in my tracks is it started impacting my relationships, because I wasn't spending time with my friends and family. And so the middle is when I started to go, growth is fantastic, but not at the expense of my relationships. So I'm going to have to pull back, not because I didn't have the stamina, because I could probably have kept going. Like, I know what I am. I am a workhorse. I get things done, and I could pull all-nighters, you know, for the rest of my life if I wanted to. But that's not good for me, but definitely not good for the people around me, because then I'm cranky and I don't like reach out, and I'm like exhausted, and I'm just not a present friend.
Mm. And I also think like health-wise, you wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah, it's such a silly way of thinking, like, oh, I can work forever. No, I'm going to get sick and tired.
It's short term. Yeah.
Very short term. And then now I've gotten to a stage where I'm like, okay, what's important to me? Making impact, obviously, that's like number one. Number two, having work-life balance. And if I'm trying to make impact at the expense of myself and my work-life balance, then I'm not going to make really good content. I'm not going to make really good decisions. I'm not going to make really good, you know, ideas. I'm not going to hire really good people. Like, it all just will go downhill. And what's the point of trying to grow a business well if it's a crappy business that's actually helping no one?
Mm. Yeah.
And you're sad.
Your business is going downhill, and then so is like your life as well. And then you're like, what's the point?
And I really feel like I'm projecting, but I really feel that's what's happened with some creators like Vanessa Lau, who ended up taking that 1 year sabbatical because she was like, wait, I'm growing it and I'm growing it and I'm growing it and I'm working more and more and more and I'm hiring more and more people. And wait, now the business actually doesn't work anymore and I'm losing money every single month. So that's kind of where it began for me. But yeah, I guess my work-life balance, I'm happy to talk about like the tips I used or like what's helped me manage it better. But I'm really just so passionate now about, no, this is a freedom-based business. This business is meant to help me create change, but also give me freedom.
Yeah. I like you talking about and being transparent about your journey with that work-life balance. And I think a lot of people, I myself, relate to that wholeheartedly, is that big push to work, work, work and get things done. And then you go over the hill and then you start to decline and then you come back up and you're like, okay, what do I need to do to balance things out? So Sim, how have you managed to pull back and to create more balance and have, again, your business having that freedom-based business?
What I did was I sat down and looked at what worked last year in the business. And I was like, okay, well, where did we make our money? Hey, I did a lot of speaking engagements and I traveled a lot. I went overseas just to do a talk and then I flew home. And okay, that took like 3 days plus the tiredness and the fatigue that I got. And wait, I got paid $5,000 for that. That's not bad. I'm really thankful. But $5,000 for 3 days of work, when also I ran a masterclass and the masterclass brought in so much more. And how many masterclasses would I have just had to sold extra to have made that $5,000? And so I started doing this like backwards analysis of where does Girls That Invest create the most impact? Where does most of our revenue come from? And it came from three things. It came from our one flagship product, the masterclass. It came from the podcast partnerships. And then it came from my speaking engagements, but that's because I did lots of speaking engagements. So I was like, well, let's just focus on the top two. I was like consulting, and I was consulting for peanuts. Like how much I was charging for consulting was like not really great. In hindsight, those companies were taking a bit on me and I loved it because I love teaching. Nothing makes me happier, but the time to do it versus like, you know, if I consulted once a week, that could have just been one investing masterclass I sold per week. But I was spending an hour and then like 3 hours prepping for it and all of that. And I was doing like a weekly stock market column, which took so much time and energy. And then I'd get stressed out reading the like comments underneath. The people were like, this woman has no idea what she's talking about. And I'm like, no, you're reading it wrong. And so I just had to like look at all the ways my business was making money, realize, you know, that 20-80 rule, only 20% of what your business does generates 80% of the results. Just cut everything else out. It was so hard to sit down with the people that I loved consulting with and the brands I loved working with and being like, I'm actually going to have to stop doing this. I'm going to have to focus all my time and energy on the few things that work and just making my business smaller by doing less, but doing less really well. Even like our podcast, we used to do 3 episodes a week. Why was I putting out 3 episodes per week on a podcast? That is insane. That is not our biggest way of making impact. And also it got to a point where I just hated doing the money confession episodes because I was so tired.
Yeah. And identifying, I think that's so important for people to hear, is identifying what actually is, for lack of better words, what is more bang for your buck? Because at this point, your business was impacting your relationships. It was impacting your health and impacting the way that you viewed and operated within your business as well. So something had to change. And so sitting down and reflecting on seeing what works best for the business and kind of prioritizing that and culling the rest.
Absolutely. And that was so helpful. I sat down with Kara, who is our colleague at Girls That Invest. She is our one full-timer and she now like leads operations. And Kara and I literally sat down and we made a list of everything I was not going to do. And it was hard. Like we had to make a list. Like we get a lot of inbound requests like, hey, can Sim come on our radio show or can Sim come and do like a talk here or do commentary? And we had to make like a flow diagram of if they meet XYZ requirement, if they're reaching young women that this will actually benefit, then yes, we do it. Or if they have a certain amount of audience so that, you know, giving an hour of our time for something that's going to be listened by 50 people for free, that's not worth an hour of my time because those 50 people could just find the podcast and listen to it anyway. I've recorded so much content. And like making a list and being like, they have to meet these requirements for Sim to like go and do a free podcast on someone else's show. I hated doing that, but it helped because now I do less, but I do it with greater impact and it makes more change. That was the second thing. Even like the speaking gigs, I was like, I just have to cut it down. And we literally doubled my speaking rate. And we're like, look, even if you do 3 a year, that is still going to make the business more money than you flying to Australia for $5,000.
And all that travel as well.
Well, I just can't do it. And what if I have kids one day, or like have like more things that not hold me down, but keep me occupied? I can't just be like jumping on a plane and like going anywhere last minute, or being like, oh, I just need to quickly run into like the studio for a TV show at 5 a.m. and I need to like drive home now to like get there. I don't know. There was just too much.
There was a lot going on.
I was really putting my needs last and putting the business and other people's needs first.
Mm.
And I believe that I had to do that for a long time to get the credibility and to be reliable and to be taken seriously. But after a while, I feel like I can pull back a little bit and be like, I don't have to do that, and it doesn't impact the company or me. For business owners, every transaction is more than just a swipe of a card. It's the culmination of your hard work, dedication, and commitment to your customers. That's why I'm excited to share with you a game-changing solution that's simplifying the way businesses like yours accept payments. Introducing Tap to Pay on iPhone, powered by Stripe. Contactless payments has never been easier. You can seamlessly accept contactless payments directly from your iPhone, and the best part, there's no additional hardware required. Think about it. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe cater to businesses of all sizes, empowering them to accept payments right from their iPhones. It's a game changer for businesses looking to scale quickly and stay flexible, with quick setup that takes minutes, not days. So, how can Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe benefit your business? It's simple. Increased revenue, expanded reach, and enhanced customer experience. It's a win-win-win. To learn more about how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can transform your business, visit stripe.com/tapiphone today.
And so stepping out of, like you mentioned earlier, you were in that season of major growth and that real startup energy, that hustle, get things moving and rolling, which I think is something that a lot of people can relate to, starting their pākehi, starting their business, starting their journey in solopreneurship, entrepreneurship. It's just kind of something that I think you need to do to get the ball rolling. But again, it's not sustainable. It's not a good way of living, in my perspective, as someone who has burnt out a few times in the past few years. Nothing is worth your health. Nothing is worth, you know, negatively impacting your relationships and the people around you, even if it is your business and, you know, your baby as well. And Sim, what do you prioritize now in your day-to-day to ensure you maintain that sense of work-life balance that you have now?
I prioritize being able to physically tell the difference between when I'm working and not. So I don't know if you saw on my Instagram, but I went out and bought like a work capsule. So I will wear work clothes when I work, and then I will take them off and put on my PJs in the evenings. And so that's helped me, like, one, prioritize switching off and being like, well, I can't be in work. Like, it's embarrassing, Maya, if I'm like in like work outfit and it's 8 p.m. and I'm like, what am I doing, Sim? Get out of your work outfit, get in your PJs.
It's that visual cue for you.
It's my visual cue. Like, take your makeup off, get out your work clothes. You don't need to be in heels. Like, you're at home. And so I get changed, and it's really fun. I had a plumber come in the other day to fit in my new dishwasher, and he kind of was a bit startled because I was just like fully done up to the nines with like my long pleated skirt and my like Chanel knockoff heels. And I was just sitting by myself, like at my dining table working. I was like, hello. Anyway, that's really helped. But what I've prioritized is time with my family, time with my friends. I've prioritized time by myself, which I don't think I've ever prioritized. I mean, I'm an extrovert.
Yeah, I see that.
I don't think I've ever said that before. And so I like say, no, I'm switching off at 5 o'clock, or I say, no, that meeting, like, I can't come to that in person, but I can do it virtually. In the past, I used to always just drive to people because I was like, in-person meetings are more effective. And if they can't come to me, I'll just go to them. So it'd take me like half an hour to get there, half an hour to come back in the middle of the day. It would like break up my day and my workflow. And now I'm like, you'll be proud of me. I was in LA And my amazing manager in the US was like, hey, let's have a meeting and come here. And I was like, awesome. And then I was like, wait, that's an hour away to drive there and then an hour to drive back. And I was like, can we do it over Zoom? And he was like, well, it was more just to catch up with you and see you. But if we can't do it, we can just catch up another time. And I was like, yeah, let's just see each other another time. Like, we don't have to have this catch up. And then we didn't.
Perfect.
What would you say you've prioritized in your day to day? Because I think whilst we've had similar journeys, I think you have also had your own unique way of going through it. What have you like changed in the last couple of years?
Well, 2023 was a very, very challenging time, but I also knew that it was only going to last for that year.
Yeah.
Like I made it so that it lasted that year. Everything was timed, like studying, my wedding, and a few other things like that.
New job.
And then another new job. And so I knew what I was getting into a little bit, but my health suffered. And so my number one thing for me is I'm not letting anything impact my health that way ever again. And so prioritizing my hauora, my health and well-being is my number one priority. And viewing that through a te ao Māori, a Māori perspective, holistic perspective. And that means my whānau, my family, my social interactions, my mental health, my physical health, and my spiritual health, going off the Te Whare Tapawha Māori health model. And so my health is my number one priority. And also I really had to sit down with myself and see what I wanted to spend most time on. And finding systems and processes that take like half the amount of time, where I used to spend so much time doing something, I found a quicker, easier way to do it. And it's just like so helpful.
What's an example of that?
I think I used to get caught up in doing a lot of the fluffy things first. So I split my tasks into two and kind of time block a little bit. I'm still working on executing time blocking to like my best ability, but recognizing what tasks take a few minutes and ones that'll take longer, because I used to come to the end of the day and have only done like one thing that actually took a long time. And I still didn't even finish it. And then all of these other little things that literally take about half an hour altogether. And so it's just kind of prioritizing that within my day to get, you know, some stuff done so that I can clock off when I need to.
You are so undiagnosed ADHD, aren't you?
I don't want to say 100% because I'm not a professional, but I have come to learn the past 12 to 14 months that a lot of my tendencies, a lot of things that I've struggled with are big ADHD symptoms. And I'm still waiting for my psychiatrist appointment. But yeah, recognizing that and finding ways that help me to deal with those things better. Because honestly, like having this knowledge of what ADHD is and that I have quite a lot of those symptoms has been so helpful with dealing with being able to prioritize my time better.
That is such a good way of putting it. And I just cannot stress enough that sometimes like wellness and like health, it's not like being lazy, or it's not like, oh, we had bad work-life balance because we didn't care about it or we were lazy people. If anything, we were the opposite. We were actually quite hardworking. That's why we don't have work-life balance. But yeah, there's always so much more involved. And I just thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable about it, because it's not easy.
No, it's not. And I'll let you know when I have my psychiatrist appointment what she says.
Thank you. The nation is watching.
Yep.
If you've enjoyed this episode and you're like, okay, I've really, you know, found this helpful. I too am someone that has maybe not prioritized work-life balance, but I don't want to have IBS like Sim, and I don't want to have to pay $700 for a psychiatrist like Maya. Learn from this episode. Take our learnings, make use of it. Please, it is the least that we can give you. And if you found anything helpful, as always, take a screenshot, put it on your Instagram story, tag a friend. It means the world to us. It helps the podcast grow, and of course it helps us reach more people so that they can grow more wealth, so that we can just have this fantastic community of wealthy humans, because wealth means choices, and that is what we are all about. And I'll see you soon, Maya.
Ka kite. Bye.
Bye.
And as always, to finish off with the disclaimer, Girls That Invest does not provide personalized investing advice for your individual needs. We are not financial advisors. The advice from Girls That Invest exists for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon to make an investment or financial decision. Advice from Girls That Invest is general in nature and does not consider your individual circumstances. Always do your research and please do your due diligence.